Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
It's growth in your life. Well, we have a small goal for the next 3 weeks, and that is to answer the question, what causes growth? We all want to grow. We all want to be stronger in Christ, but what causes the growth? Well, today we've got two main objectives. Number one, to understand what anchors us. And then number two, to apply the wisdom in our life about what anchors us. So when you look at Revelations 5:5 with me, you'll notice that it says, "Do not weep. And look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And then notice this next word, "the Root of David," capital R. God even calls Jesus the root of all roots. Now everybody go to Jeremiah chapter 17 with me, and let me show you something. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, it gives us a promise here. And I want to encourage you to read these scriptures with me today and really take a good look at them. In Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, it says, "The people, the person who trusts, who relies, who depends on God, whose confidence," which is the word trust. And always remember, when you're reading the Old Testament, you're reading Hebrew, and therefore you're looking at a picture, not a word. So the picture for confidence is trust. "Whose trust is indeed in the Lord is blessed." How many of you want to be blessed? Say amen. So if you're blessed, you're blessed when you trust and you lean on God. And so when you trust and you lean on God through the good times and the bad times, the Bible says you're going to be like a tree. And he uses a metaphor. And he says you're going to be like a tree. Like in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell, it said like a dove fell upon their fire, fell upon their head. And when Jesus was being baptized, like a dove, the Holy Spirit came out of the water into the Jordan River. So here it says you're going to be like a tree, but you're going to be planted. Listen, trees that are unrooted and taken up and planted here and taken up and planted here and taken up and planted here never prosper. And so it says you're going to be like a tree planted by water, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, according to the book of John. You're going to be a tree, and how do you plant a tree deeply and get deep roots? Through the operation of the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit cause this work to happen in your life? The word tree there in the Hebrew is a picture for a large living organism, something that's hard, but the picture of a tree means no mobility. Can you imagine what kind of families we'd build if we keep our families together and go to counseling rather than divorce court? Can you imagine what kind of church we'd build if people would get stable and not move because they didn't get to sing their song or because it wasn't their flavor of the week? Can you imagine how stable you can become if you become immobile? In lots of areas in your life, in teaching the same class and the routine of coming to church every single week and just getting unmobile, no mobility when it comes to this. And look what happens when you get unmobile. It sends out roots when you stay with the same woman and you build the same family and the children have the same dad. It sends out roots when you teach the same class and you stay faithful with it for years. I looked at my mom the other day and I said, "Let me tell you what's before you right now, leaving a heritage." That's exactly what God's will is for your life right now. Can you imagine the kind of heritage, and I'm not saying we're not doing it because we are. Can you imagine the kind of heritage if your children saw the same pastor, the same Sunday school teacher, and the same children's pastor all of their life? If they were good, doctrinally sound people? Enormous fruits. And so it says that when you do these kind of things, when you trust in God, when you lean on God, and when you become immobile, in other words, you're not changing families, you're not changing churches, you're not changing religions, you're not changing belief systems, you're not changing your gifting and deciding you're not going to work in your gifts. When you become stable, the Bible says that what happens is that it'll send out a root system. And it says that it'll send out a root system towards a stream. Now, the word root there is a Hebrew picture for deep. You cannot mature in Christ without going deep. Now, a lot of people think deep looks like this. That's not deep. I know a lot of people who do this every Sunday, and they're not deep. They're, matter of fact, very movable based on religious experiences. But the Bible says that if you get roots, depth, that it'll move your body, your soul, towards a stream where there is rivers. The word stream is living water, not stagnant water. And then look what happens. It says when you get these kind of roots from trust and no mobility, and you just think about how many areas of your life. You mean, look how many times people change jobs. And there's nothing wrong with changing jobs, but at the end of the day, stability somewhere is going to pay off. It'll pay off in your marriage, it'll pay off in your religious life, it'll pay off in a lot of areas. To the point that the Bible says, Jeremiah says, that you won't even fear when the heat comes. How many of you have made it through a tough time? Let me see your heads. Yeah, you want to know why? Because you stayed stable. Because you were rooted. You had some depth to you. That's why you're still here. I could tell you 100 stories about people in this 1,300-member church who had no roots. And it wasn't just the bad times. It wasn't just the heat that got them. It was the prosperity that got them. It was God answering their prayer that got them. I cannot look at this sanctuary without thinking about the guy that sit right over there to the left for all this time, and he had a shotgun in his mouth, called me. I was in my office. I still got his bullet somewhere around here. And he said, I need to talk to you, Pastor Michael. I said, where you at? And he said, I'm in the parking lot, and I heard the gun click. God answered his prayer. God healed him of his depression. God gave him another woman because his wife had left him. And as soon as he got what God gave him, he left God. There'll be a reckoning for that one day. And how many of you know leopards don't change their spot? The grass is not greener on the other side. Because what happens is God wants to walk you through something and you want to get through it. Now, what happens is the Bible says when you're rooted and non-mobile in the areas of your life, especially spiritually, that you will get to the place where you won't fear even when the heat comes. Even when your wife leaves you, even when your job changes, even when things don't go your way, and even when you're prosperous. Because prosperity can be heat too. More people, listen, failure is a whole lot easier to handle than success. At least you can turn failure into fertilizer. And so it says that you won't fear when the heat comes, and even your leaves, the foliage on your tree, look at it. The foliage on your tree is going to remain green even in the heat. Even when your sun dies, even when you get what you've always dreamt of. And it says it will not worry you in the year of drought or cause you to cease from producing fruit. Now, how many of you would like to have that kind of life? Can I see your hands? Please lift them up or keep them down. You'd really like to have that kind of life? Well, I want you to look at what God just promised you. He says, number one, if you trust me and you have confidence in me, you're going to be like a tree. And then he says, you're going to be planted. You're going to stay in place. And then you're going to stay in place, and then you're going to be staying in place by water, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And then the tree's going to send out its roots towards water, and you're not going to fear when heat comes, and your leaves are going to remain green, and you won't even get worried even in the midst of a year of drought, and you will not cease producing fruit even in a year of drought. So the tree that produces fruit is considered mature in the Bible. So the Bible uses this metaphor of a tree that produces fruit as being mature. Now, I want you to go with me. Just hold on there. I want you to understand that a root is a branch, an organ which grows down in the soil. Now, people think that what makes these plants so beautiful are the flowers and the colors and the reds and the purples. And what makes this tree so healthy is that it has leaves. No, 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 no. That tree and these plants and this fruit is not the object. It is not what makes you healthy. It is not what keeps you mature. Let me tell you what keeps a plant mature. What keeps a plant mature is the root. Because the key to maturity are your roots. And there's three levels. Number one, the roots that anchor you, deep roots. The roots of spiritual intimacy, because roots carry the nutrition to the plant. And number three, the roots of biblical knowledge, because in applied obedience, because roots contain the wealth of knowledge that produces the fruit. In other words, if there were not any roots in this plant, then there would be no flowers on this plant. And if there were not any roots in this plant, there would be no intimacy in this plant. It would not have health, because there's no way for these beautiful flowers to get nutrients without the roots. And if this plant was not anchored in the soil by its roots, it couldn't grow. But here's the problem. I got the wrong plant. That's the problem. No, that ain't the right one. Not what I would ask to have done with it. It's not. All right, here, it'll do. See that? You know what I just learned about your spiritual life? You ain't going to last long. You might look good today, and you might look like you got an intimate walk with God, and you may look like you're anchored, and you may have lots of deception around you, but the roots are gone. And if there's no roots on this plant, it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. It ain't going to survive. And so when you get rooted and anchored, and when you get rooted in spiritual intimacy, and when you get rooted in biblical knowledge that connects its knowledge with obedience, there will be no stopping you the rest of this year. Absolutely not. You will be more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. Somebody say amen. And so you have to realize, what is maturity? The Bible's full of symbols. The Bible likens maturity to a tree. The tree of life has been uprooted. Say, well, the Bible says it's like a tree, and maturity is a symbol of the tree. Then we're in big trouble, because the tree of life has been removed. No one can eat from the tree of life right now. You want to know why? Because of the mercy of God. If the tree of life was still available from you to eat from, you would have cancer and live forever. So God knew that he had to get the tree of life out of here. And now the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, the damage is already done. How many of you realize you're broken people? I'm a broken person. Let me see your hand. And so the damage is already done. So I call it the tree of Zoe. You know what the word Zoe means in the Greek? It actually means soul life. And so the only thing you've got going for you right now is the tree of Zoe, which is the tree that represents the soul of your life. Life of the soul. And you can do whatever you want to do, be successful, have marriages, do what, just whatever your heart's desire. And if your soul isn't right with God and healthy, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. You ain't going to last long. Somebody say amen. Well, I clear off dirt. And so the Bible says in Revelation, to he that overcomes, I'll give you the tree of life. Revelations 2 and 7. So when you look at Zoe, the tree of Zoe, it's a life guided by God. It's a life specifically tied to Christ. It's a life where roots strengthen the stability. We're the shoot, which is this part right here, the shoot, where the shoot actually supports the existence of the Christian walk with God. It's where the branches reaches out with the gospel to the marketplace. It's where it's productive and it has fruit on it, or flowers. It blossoms. But here's the point. When you really want to grow in God, you got to realize a secret. And most Christians, especially fundamentalists and Pentecostals, they don't get it. When you really want to grow in God, there's only one way to do it. And that is gradual and slowly. And the only thing that will cause you to mature as a Christian and be all that God has called you to be is if you stay in it when you don't want to stay in it. When you read it when you don't want to read it. When you praise Him when you don't want to praise Him. There's a lot to be said about just showing up. And so if you want to grow, how many of you want to get closer to Christ? Let me see your hands. This is the only way to do it. We want somebody to lay hands on us and want to fall out, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's God. God uses those times. But I've seen way too many people think maturity was a religious experience. And when the win comes or success comes or an opportunity comes, they don't have the wisdom to make the decision about how to interpret the seasons of their life. And you have to learn how to interpret the seasons of your life. In other words, you have the devil beat you up because you don't have a whole lot of fruit on your tree. You have the devil beat you up because you're working on your second marriage. You got the devil beating you up because you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. I get tickled to hearing some of the new converts and what they say to other people in this church. They say, you know what? I really am saved because they didn't cuss somebody out this week. I think that's great. That's wonderful. But the point is, we think, and I've had to tell this to a lot of church planters, they think that you plant a church and it just goes overnight to 1,000. No, that's not normal. That's abnormal. And you think when you get saved, you're just going to be this superstar in Christ. No, it's not how it happens. You got to make it through something and stay put. You got to go through hell and come out smiling. You got to go through suffering. And here's what you'll never hear on Christian television. It's suffering that produces maturity. It's going through a bad time. But it's also learning how to handle the good time. It's also learning how to be productive when things are good. I know a guy that used to sit in this church and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And always posting religious epiphanies on Facebook. And then 10 days later, when he's had a bad day emotionally, he's drunk in a bar taking pictures of himself. Folks, it ain't brain science. You want to get close to God? Here's the answer. You don't buy tickets to go see Benny Hinn or Steve Furtick. Those things are okay. You don't go to a commune out in the middle of the desert, in the Mojave Desert, and join a monastery. You don't have to become Henry Nouwen from Harvard. No, just be faithful and stable. And when you're faithful and stable, there ain't a devil in hell that's going to uproot you. When you're in love with God and you say, if he slay me, I'll still serve him. Then, honey, you got something in your life. But if you're running off every time something goes wrong, you're never going to make it in God. And you may look good on the outside, but God knows that you ain't got no roots. And I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching. Somebody say amen. All right, I got to get going. So what does the Bible say? Everybody go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 through 29. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 through 29, it says, we proclaim him, warning and teaching. So there's a warning here. God is saying, oh, listen up. And teaching, you got to hear to be taught. You got to be present to be taught. You got to be stable to hear teaching long term. That's why I don't preach one day messages. I preach series to produce maturity. Now, it says here, we proclaim him, Jesus Christ. But this is a warning, and it's about you teaching. You cannot grow if you do not eat. When you're a Christian, you eat the Word, the Bible. You read it, and it strengthens you. You read it, and it literally cleanses you from your sins. And it says, teaching and warning everyone with all Sophia. Now, this is New Testament, so it's Sophia, wisdom. I'm amazed at how many people don't have any wisdom in God. I mean, wisdom isn't really hard. As a matter of fact, you could take something as simple as this thing right here, and I can get a lot of wisdom. You say, I thought you said the Word of God was where you get your way. It is. But I'll show you in a minute what the Word of God says about this thing right here. Or in a minute, I'm going to show you what the Word of God actually says about this thing right here. Or I'll show you what the Word of God says about this thing right here. Or I'll show you what the Word of God says, not about that thing, because that thing's enamored with flowers. But this thing right here that has some deep roots. I'll show you what the Word of God says about it, because the Bible literally says that he'll take these things and teach you how to grow in Christ. He'll show you what maturity looks like by looking at plants. He got right with Job, and I don't understand that, in the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, the first book written in the entire Bible. And Job was having a bad day, and Job really, he never did anything wrong. And God said, I've had enough of your mouth. And I don't understand why God was so stern with Job. But he turned around to Job and said, oh, big boy, where were you when I took the north winds and spread them from the east wind? Where were you when I told the snow where to store itself in the south? Where were you when I taught the mountain goat to walk on the back of its heels? Where were you? And it's interesting that God didn't say, where were you when I said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where were you when I kicked Satan out of heaven? No, no, no. God goes to nature to show Job how to grow. And that's fascinating to me. Now watch this. It says, wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So the goal of our walk with God is so that the leaders who lead us, my goal is to be able to present you mature in Christ on Judgment Day. And the Bible says, if you're the head of your house, it's your goal to present your family as mature on Judgment Day. So what is maturity and how does it happen? It must be stinking important, ladies and gentlemen, for God. And he says in Colossians, he says, I want you to be mature, which is the word teleos. And it means I want your life to be full. I want you to have a high level of competence. I want you to have a high quality of workmanship. I want you to be adult in your behavior. And I want you to finish. That's my goal. Is it yours? Say amen. I hope you're not as dead as you are looking at me right now. Do you really want a full life? Because if you don't, you let me know. Do you want to be highly competent in something else besides money? Do you really want a high quality of workmanship to your soul? Do you really want to be adult in your behavior, not like a child before God? Because I got news for you. That car, that house, that boat, that vacation home, that education, that doctorate, whatever you got, ain't going to matter to a hill of beans when you stand before God on Judgment Day. It's going to be the quality of your soul, not how good you look on the outside. And what makes the difference to the quality of your soul that you can do what God asks of you, that you can have the life that God has always promised you, that you can be happy and have things? Roots. Roots. Roots make a huge difference. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. In Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 7, it says, so then, just as you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue. Continue. Roots that go up are dysfunctional. Roots that go down are healthy. Continue to live in Him. Being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. Oh, gratitude will get you a long ways. Folks, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's the best experience for my Christian walk I've ever had. As far as experiences go, everyone needs to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if you think that was for the early church, you come to me, and in love, I'll show you where you're wrong. But there is nothing that increases my freshness with God than gratitude. Thank you for a great church. Thank you for a pastor that can't be bought off. Thank you for truth in my local church. Thank you for a place where the Holy Spirit moves. Thank you for a Christian mom and dad. Thank you for a great job. Thank you for a great wife. Thank you for a great year. Thank you, God. Do you realize what gratitude will do in your life with God? Just being thankful? Do you realize, now this is going to shock you, but you realize that one of the fruits on the tree of maturity is gratitude? Not just continuing. It's not about the continuing. It's about what continuing produces. It's not about staying still. It's about what staying still produces. It's not about coming every week out of religious habit. It's about what coming every week will produce in your life. And so he says, you're being rooted and grounded, and you'll be taught and overflowing with gratitude. The word being rooted actually means you're firmly fixed and strengthened by depth. And when it says being built up here, it means you have erected a superstructure to build upon. But let me shock you. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, I've read this scripture. I've quoted it 100, probably 1,000 times in 37 years, but I never connected the ending of this verse to what it was saying. It says, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing on to those things to come, which are in the high calling of Christ Jesus. And it says, forgetting those things behind and reaching forward like a tree to what is ahead. And Paul said, I pursue my goal, okay? The prize promised by God. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. Do you know one of the fruits on the tree of maturity is forgetting what's behind you? You remember that time that you got caught with pornography? Remember that time your marriage fell apart? Remember that time your best friend betrayed you? Remember that time you wanted to quit God so bad because you were angry and offended at him? Remember that time somebody in the church hurt your feelings? Remember that time you got lied on? Remember that time that you prayed and asked God to heal your grandma and he didn't? God said, not that you're not to learn from it, but here's what he says, Sister Davis. You've been serving God a long time, honey. I never connected the verse. It said, forget it. And when you learn to forget your offenses and your struggles, you're on your way to maturity. Want to know why, Jeremiah? Because your roots say it doesn't matter whether the wind blows. Your roots say it doesn't matter whether there's a storm. The roots say it doesn't matter whether I got an extra $100,000 this week. No. Prosperity or famine will not move me. Do you think maybe you could love God like that? I think you can. I think it's possible for you to fall in love with God like that this fall to the point that it doesn't matter what happens. We can bury your dad. And I can be there with his body, with you in ICU. And that was an honor. But you're still here. You've been through hell. You're still going through it. But you're still here. You've been lied on. You've been through hell. You're still here. You walked your mama through cancer. I was there. Every week during that last week. I was there when we buried her. I was there when we went to Israel together. That's beautiful. Flowers are great, but you're still here. Can you imagine how much you could fall in love with God through that kind of consistency? You know what I love about you? You drive from Paducah every week. You and your whole family never complain one time. And you do it out of hunger. You don't think God's going to reward that? I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but God just told me to tell you to hang on. And that the enemy that's attacking you and the things that are coming against you, and it's related to family, he's going to solve it just like that in your life. Does that make sense to you, Pam? He's a good God. You know what's worth more than $1 million to me? And I wish I had $1 million. Boy, what I couldn't do with the kingdom. I'd blacktop our driveway, number one, with a new layer of asphalt. We got a price. We're saving money. It's $90,000. Had $1 million, I'd build a Christian school so fast it'd make your head swim. Had $1 million, I'd make a strategic plan to educate the children of the church worldwide and globally. That's what I'd do with $1 million, but you know what I wouldn't give $1 million for? My son seeing the same people in the class on Wednesday nights forever. I'd give $1 million. I wouldn't take $1 million for that. What I'd give $1 million for? Watching you stay stable and your loved ones come to Christ. I wouldn't give $1 million for it. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. Maturity, the fruit, is being able to forget what's behind. Oh, what a gift. Now go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. Go quickly. I got to hurry. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3, it says, no one can be made secure by wickedness. No one can be stable by wickedness. And so, pastor, do you believe in grace? Yes. Do you believe that you're secure? Yes. Do you believe grace is for the time of need? Yes. Do you believe once saved, always saved? I will not use that terminology, because once you're saved, you're going to want to stay saved, and the one that endures until the end is saved. But too many people use grace to sin. And the Bible says you're never going to get stable through wickedness. And so the church needs to hear that if you want to get stable and you want fruit on your tree, you want to forget about your past, you want joy in your life, you want peace, long-suffering, gentleness, you want to handle prosperity and famine with no worry or fear, the only way to do it is to get some roots. And those are promises that come from roots. But he says, no one can be made secure by wickedness, but the root of the righteous is immovable. I didn't think I was going to make it when they called me in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and said, Dustin's been killed in a car wreck at 16. I didn't think I was going to make it when some of my friends high up in power turned against me and lied and tried to destroy me and steal my mother and father's inheritance and Billy and Joanna's when we started this church. I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to make it when I walked up and found my mom passed out and on death's doorstep and had died and they were shocking her heart. I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to make it a lot of times pastoring this church. I sure in the world didn't think I was going to make it after burying 32 people in a year. I didn't think I was going to make it. But I found out something. I hadn't been moving around for 37 years. I hadn't been moving marriages. I hadn't been moving churches. I hadn't been moving faiths or religion. No, I stayed rooted in Christ Jesus. And because I stayed rooted, when the winds blew, it could not touch me. I wanted to quit when I carried out Uncle Boogie's body from Aunt Charlotte's house. I wanted to quit when I had to stay in the hospital with Danny's wife when she'd been killed with a baby in her womb. I wanted to quit. But praise be unto the Lamb of God. When the wind blows, if you got some roots, it won't touch you. Don't mean it ain't gonna hurt, Kevin. Don't mean you ain't going to have to go counseling. Christian counselor. Some counselors can screw you up bad. But folks, when you got some roots, they anchor you. In the good times and in the bad times. Somebody say amen. Job, go to the book of Job, chapter 14. I got to hurry. Job 14, 7 and 9 makes a promise to you. You never knew that roots were full of promises. The promise is that when your roots grow old, you know, I really wanted to change the name of our ministry to Senior Citizens. And when I named it, I was 31 years old. 32. Maybe 31. And now that I'm 50, I don't like the name 50 plus. I think we need to have a church business meeting and name it 70 plus. And then I went through this season of life where I had to realize, Jason, we ain't young anymore. We're the youth of old age. I read this and I got to thinking about something, because what was on my mind 37 years ago, 1986, when I first started doing this, what's on my mind in 2019, about to be 20, is completely different. I want to finish well. And I want to pastor a mature church. But the Bible says in the book of Job, which is the first book of the Bible and the oldest book of the Bible, it says, when your roots grow old, even when it smells the presence of God, it'll flourish. You know what I've noticed visiting so many hospitals? I was with a woman like that the other day. Served God her whole life. You talk about roots, stability. She don't know who she is. Kevin, she barely recognizes her daughter. She thinks it's her sister. But my goodness, how many scriptures she can quote. My papa was about to die. He was seeing an elephant in the corner. But boy, could he talk about God. One of the greatest gifts God's ever given me, Sister Davis, is sitting with Brother Davis, your husband, Sandy, your dad, at the last days of his life while he was still up here at Trover. And I was in the room by myself with him, and he was in a self-induced coma, a medical coma. And I watched him lay there with no eyes. And I watched him spend 30 to 40 minutes lecturing and preaching to elders and deacons at a church in Illinois about how holiness begets the man of God. And how when you're an elder, you don't need to set a bad example. And how deacons shouldn't smoke. I heard him go through it articulately, with articulation. The Bible says when you get old, when you got roots, when all that stuff's over, that if you got roots, all they have to do is smell the presence of God. And they'll perk up. It's another promise. Let me go some more. I got to go. I'm out of time and I'm way behind. Isaiah says the process. It says it shows the process of trees. Jacob takes root. Israel blossoms. And it fills the earth. But everybody go to Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Let me show you something. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says this. It says, ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible. Now, let me hold something up for you and so you can get the picture, the word picture. Look here. It's a piece of fruit. Don't look at the fruit. Don't look at the flowers. Look at what's not seen. Don't look at the fruit. Don't look at the flowers. Don't look at the shoot. Don't judge its health by its green leaves. You judge it by what's not seen. Now read this. Ever since the creation of a banana or a flower in this world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible as they are, with the potassium. It's amazing to me. I got heat stroke down in Sanibel, Captiva, a couple years ago. And Jimmy and Carrie and Rick were there. They're all physicians. And I didn't know what to do, but it's the worst pain I ever had in my life. And at Cheeseburger, they went in and got a glass of water with salt. And Jimmy brought me a banana. Worst pain I've ever felt in my life. I ate the banana and the pain instantly goes away because it had the potassium my body had no longer was able to hold because of heat stroke. Its invisible power have been understood and seen through the things he has made. You can see the same things in Psalms 19 in verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the expanse proclaims the work of his hand. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge, but yet they don't talk. In other words, this thing's speaking to us about spiritual things. It's speaking to us about spiritual things, but it cannot talk. And so maturity is actually becoming more like Jesus Christ, but maturity isn't characterized by the flower or the instant growth or the gratification of the moment. It is characterized by what's underneath that you can't see. And it's what's underneath or what's inside the created things of God that actually produce in you the things that you've always wanted. How many of you would like to be happy in Christ? Can I see your hands? Me too. So what you got to realize, and I got to hurry, but Paul said in Romans 11, and if the root be holy, the branches are too. Remember, it's not you who supports the roots. It's the roots that support you. So when you look at a root, there's some wisdom. Number one, roots anchor us and support us. It is the roots that support this tree. It is the roots that support the wind and the waves. It is the roots that support the green leaves. It's the roots that bring food up to the plant. It's the roots that causes the vine to be connected to the branches. It's the roots. And so it must be your first line of defense against the adversary. Roots anchor the body to the soul. You catch that? Roots anchor the body to the soul. How do you feed a plant? The roots takes the nutrients, the salt and the water from the soil, but it's the roots that takes it up and produces it. It's roots. It provides physical support. It does, though, because this root actually has what's called a tap root. And a tap root is on the end of a root, and it has little hairs. They call them root hairs. And it actually is an amazing piece of engineering. And a tap root is the central root, and it anchors us. And we've got some tap roots. We've got to go back and batten down the hatches. Number one, Jesus is the root of David. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of Christians trying to be Christians without Christ in their life. Number two, the church. But there's two kinds of churches. There's the universal church, like our friends that will be here in the second service from Nigeria that comes every week now. Wonderful people, physicians over here at the hospital, godly people that love the Lord. There's a universal church, and then there's the local church. Those are tap roots. The family is a tap root. It is a root hair. It reaches out. The stronger the family, the stronger the church. The more stable the family, the more unstable the church. The more stable the family, the more stable the children. The more unstable the mom and the dad, the more unstable the children. I'll never forget in my first full-time job in ministry at a 4,000-member church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I took a kid out that was a satanic priest, hated God, raised in a Pentecostal church, long hair and a drug dealer. And I said, Bo, I said, your mom and dad tell me that you're not living right for God and that you smoke dope all the time. And I'll never forget him dropping his spoon in his banana split at Dairy Queen and leaning over the table and go, did they leave out the fact that when I come home from getting high, they're both drunk laying in the floor? Good, strong families that are intentional about their faith build roots intentionally about spiritual things. You want to send your kids to hell? Wealthy and happy, let me tell you how. Think that they have a walk with God without your verbal involvement. Then you've got the gifts to the body and the gifts in the marketplace. When you walk with God and you live for the Lord, it strengthens you in the community. How can you be an influencer in the marketplace of ministry and ideas when no one has any respect for you in your home? Or no one has any respect for you as a business leader? It's all connected. And it all comes to one common denominator, roots.
But can you imagine what would happen and what's happening in some of your lives right now as being respected in the community and having character and holiness and having families that are rooted and being in the same church and being a member of the universal church and just being rooted?
Unbelievable prosperity. Number two, Jeremy, come on up. It's your roots that brings the moisture to the tree. You cannot get nutrients and spiritual intimacy without roots. Number three, roots grow in optimal temperatures. If a root is too cold or a root is too hot, it doesn't produce. You got to have oxygen and life. There's got to be spiritual intimacy there. And it's the root that actually produces the top, the flower. Because if the roots are bad, salt and water and sugar and starches cannot come up through the shoot. The stronger, the deeper the roots, the more powerful the flower. And Matthew says that when the sower sows the word, there's a group of people who see God's word being sowed and they get so happy. And God starts giving them dreams and God starts speaking to them through prophetic words. And Sister so-and-so told me that I need to do this. And this is where my great uncle actually made the same decoration in 1867. And they do all this super spiritual stuff. And they don't realize the devil's after the roots. And they're after the flower. A lot of Christians are after the flower. But God's after the roots. Because if the roots are there, the flower's going to be okay.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.